Today on Wings, Sister Carolyn Gage delivers another of her famous sermons for a lesbian tent revival. The topic this time is complex post-traumatic stress disorder. It applies to all sorts of people who have had to live through prolonged assaults on their identity and safety.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Welcome, sisters, to the Lesbian Tent Revival Radio Hour. This is Sister Carolyn of the Sisterhood of the Sacred Synapse here, the Church of Think for Your Own Damn Self. All right, now, sisters, listen up. We're going to be talking about something really, really important today. We're going to be talking about complex PTSD. That's complex post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, you just stay right here. Why is this so important? Because a boatload of lesbians have it, and a boatload of lesbians don't know they have it, and that could be you, or else they've been misdiagnosed. If they don't know they have it, they can go through a lot of suffering and confusion they don't need to, and if they're misdiagnosed, they can die. That's right. That just happened to a good friend of mine this month. If you have complex PTSD and you are misdiagnosed, you can die. My friend, she killed herself. Complex PTSD is frequently misdiagnosed as borderline personality or depression, whole range of other things, and it's often treated in ways that make it much worse. So we're going to be looking at complex PTSD today because it is a lesbian issue, and what it is and what it is not. And we're going to look at it all kinds of ways, not just psychologically, but politically, socially, lesbianically, and we're going to weave it back into the web. We're going to weave our sisters who have it back into a giant network of understanding and compassion. Because sisters, we cannot afford to lose each other. None of us. I mean it. And complex PTSD is something different. It's not to be confused with that whole host of other diagnoses for what is often explained as broken brains to patients. Don't get me started. Complex PTSD is actually the opposite. It's a diagnosis for a brain that's operating very, very well, thank you. Too well, maybe. Well, what do I mean by that? That you can have a brain that's operating so well it's causing you problems? Well, let's just say you grew up on Mars. Whole other planet, whole other environment, whole other customs, whole other culture, whole other survival needs. That's the key. I'm going to say that again. Whole other survival needs. Like maybe water. Like where it is, how to get it, who has it, how to keep it. Now remember, you're on Mars. Maybe an entire language around the scarcity of water, adaptations to that scarcity, terrors around the ongoing threat of not having enough, and so on. Perhaps a preoccupation with water that might look like an obsession to a culture that has water on demand in every faucet in the house. So if you came from Mars, if you grew up on Mars, and then you moved to Earth, you'd have to do a lot of reprogramming. You'd have to do a lot of relearning based on the culture here. And all that vigilance about water thing that kept you alive as a child is going to cause you problems here. First off, folks aren't going to understand your obsession. It's going to scare them or annoy them. You're going to be stockpiling water everywhere you go, checking all their faucets. You're going to act or seem inappropriate in a lot of situations. Folks are going to back off. So now you're going to have issues that people have who are unable to make connections with other people. And then you might start isolating, and that causes a host of other adaptations. It's going to make it even harder for you to connect, and so on, and so on, and so on. But there's not a damn thing wrong with your brain. It adapted brilliantly to conditions of life on Mars. In fact, it learned how to survive on Mars so well, it's having a tough time letting go of those lessons that were so powerfully and maybe even traumatically reinforced. Maybe you saw people die on Mars because they were careless about water. Or maybe they were too generous with it. What folks might call trust issues could just be that you learned too well. No broken brain here at all, no chemical imbalance, nothing wrong. Just a brain that needs to unlearn and reprogram. All right, that's the first analogy I'm going to use for complex PTSD, and here's the second one. All right, let's take a black eye. Let's say you got hit in the eye with a wild softball pitch. And let's say for whatever crazy reason, the doctor treating you does not know that. Doesn't want to know it, doesn't ask about it, shuts you up if you start talking about it. Let's say the doctor treating you has a very, very limited practice and does not know anything about people getting hit with objects in the face. This doctor would notice the swelling, the blue color, the throbbing pain, the bloodshot eye, and if for some reason her practice was totally focused on non-black eyes, she might conclude you had a disease of the eye, and a pretty scary one. It's turning color. It's swelling up. I don't know. Is it going to eat up your whole head? Is it going to turn orange and purple tomorrow? And that bloodshot eye, are you going blind? She might put you through a bazillion tests that just scare her even more because she can't find a cause through a microscope or on an x-ray. And she might recommend you wrap your whole head tightly so the swelling won't eat your head. She might inject you with skin-colored dye so the blue is less blue because she'd want you to look normal. See where I'm going with this? And she would diagnose, yes, you have a diseased eye. And then if you remembered that your mom once had a black eye, well, she might put it down to heredity. And then that might set her down a whole path of genetic mapping searching for the black eye gene. The truth of the matter, of course, is this is a perfectly healthy eye doing what a perfectly healthy eye does when it sustained an impact injury. All the things happening are a result of the trauma to the tissue or the body's attempt to heal the damage. Process. There is a process going on, a healthy process, that might look kind of weird and scary for a while. Doesn't mean you ought to mess with it. Okay, so I want you to hold those two analogies in your mind because you are going to synapse today. Mars, growing up on Mars, and a black eye. Now, what does this have to do with complex PTSD? Well, first of all, let's define it. All right, and this is kind of scientific here. Complex post-traumatic stress disorder is a psychological injury that results from protracted exposure to prolonged social and/or interpersonal trauma in the context of either captivity or entrapment, that is, a situation lacking a viable escape route for the victim, which results in the lack or loss of control, helplessness, and deformations of identity and sense of self. I know, that's a mouthful, but sisters, this has everything to do with being a lesbian, and it might have everything to do with keeping you alive. So let's break it down in specific lesbian terms. First, it's a psychological injury. It's not a brain disease. It's a psychological injury. Protracted exposure to a prolonged social and/or interpersonal trauma. What does that mean? Well, how about homophobia? Socially being taught you're going to go to hell no matter what you do, just because of who you are. Who you are is someone that what you are is going to cause you to get the shit beat out of you on the playground every day. You may never be able to marry, never have the career you wanted, on and on and on and on. I just can't even wrap my brain around all the things that are going to happen to you if you know you're lesbian. And the interpersonal trauma, well, there's that playground thing and being rejected by your church, but also by your family and your friends. And does this happen in a context of captivity or entrapment, which is defined as a situation lacking a viable escape route? Well, lesbians historically would flee to San Francisco, and before that to Greenwich Village. And prior to the 1950s witch hunts, some would seek jobs with the federal government in D.C., but really there was no real escape route from homophobia. It's pretty universal. And how about the results? Well, here's that definition again. Lack or loss of control, helplessness, and deformations of identity and sense of self. Certainly lack, loss of control over being fired, evicted, kicked out, thrown out. Lack of control over what we're paid. Helplessness around that. Helplessness in terms of making it stop, making it go away. And then the deformations of identity and sense of self. What does it mean to have to deny who you are in order to take care of yourself? It's kind of a contradiction in terms. When forced to hide one's identity, how can you possibly avoid internalizing a sense of shame about that identity? And so on. And then, of course, there's child sexual abuse. Many lesbians, on top of the protracted exposure to prolonged homophobia, have had to deal with growing up with violence in the home and/or sexual abuse. Protracted exposure to prolonged violence, terror, threat of violence, misogyny, in captivity or entrapment, no escape route, and parents have near absolute control over their children. Captivity is a word that sadly describes the experience of many children, and with or without the entrapment of brainwashing, being taught the abuse is normal or deserved. learning that one has an obligation to submit sexually to adults, or that violence is a form of discipline, on and on and on. And what's the result? Lack and loss of control, helplessness, and the deformations of identity and sense of self. And a note on these deformations, sometimes they protect a child. Believing that one's parents are violent and irrational monsters can be overwhelming to the developing ego. And that's why sometimes a child will believe they're bad. Believing that one is bad at least holds out the hope that one day that child can change and stop deserving the abuse. That belief gives a victim a sense of control in a situation where they have none at all, and believing you have control is a survival tactic. It's like life on Mars, and it's also the black eye to the brain. But remember, there's nothing organically wrong with the brain in complex PTSD. In fact, the brain is functioning to save the victim's life. But here we are 20, 30 years later, and here's a lesbian who's had a pretty strong adulthood. She's survived that childhood. Sometimes she's even a super achiever. But now, suddenly, she starts having panic attacks. A lot of them, seemingly coming from nowhere, not related to what's going on. In fact, her life may be the best it's ever been. Or maybe she has depression showing up all of a sudden, debilitating depression, loss of interest in her life. All those things she worked so hard for, just doesn't care about them anymore. Crying uncontrollably in the middle of the day for no reason. Maybe even thinking about suicide. Black eye to the brain, sisters. Before the doctors get all their books on broken brains and hereditary mental illness and bad science theories about brains that have low levels of this and that, which, by the way, have never been measured. Those low levels, they have never been measured. Anyway, before we go down that road, what if they look for trauma? What if they start asking, did you grow up on Mars? Did you get hit with that softball? Well, if they did that, they might come up with a diagnosis of complex PTSD. And complex PTSD has a whole different treatment protocol from all those so-called broken brain diagnoses. In fact, misdiagnosing complex PTSD can and often does cause huge suffering, a range of debilitating side effects, often bad enough to qualify the patient for disability, and derailing the body's natural attempts to heal. The treatment for misdiagnosed complex PTSD is all about making a patient look and feel like nothing's happened, kind of like shooting that dye into the black eye. It's not really about discovering what did happen and respecting and honoring a difficult process of healing. That's what we need in complex PTSD. We need information and support for the healing process. This is why it's so important for lesbians to take responsibility for understanding complex PTSD. If there has been prolonged trauma in the lesbian's history, this should be the first diagnosis to be considered if she's starting to have problems psychologically. Sadly, it's often the last. Why? Ugh, this is getting political here. Because it's not yet in the DSM, which is the official manual for diagnosing psychological disorders. It's the book that standardizes diagnoses. It's the book that qualifies a condition for insurance coverage. And you know that's a big deal. It's very powerful, the DSM, and it's very political. Here at the Tent Revival, we call it the Diabolically Strategic Manual, the DSM of Patriarchy, that masquerades itself as hard science when in fact it is frequently just mirroring the political and social mores of the time. For instance, homosexuality used to be in there as a disease. Frigidity still is. It's got a fancier name. That's what it is, which most of us lesbians would understand to be male ignorance about women's bodies syndrome. Multiple sclerosis used to be considered a form of hysteria, form of mental illness. Chronic fatigue and Lyme disease are still often treated like mental illness. Regular PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder from a single event like a car accident or an assault, is in the DSM, but not complex PTSD, which is why the diagnosis can be missed. Anyway, this whole issue of PTSD has been a hot potato, and complex PTSD is a thermonuclear potato. PTSD was first identified among veterans coming back from Vietnam in the 1970s, which is not like soldiers haven't had PTSD until then. It was just called shell shock, battle fatigue, and other vague euphemisms. It was not identified as a specific syndrome. and there was no standardized protocol for treating it other than furlough or bed rest. Needless to say, the military is not a fan of PTSD now that it's an official diagnosis, because they have to treat it. That's expensive. In recent years, so many veterans were turning up with PTSD that they started a system where soldiers who were leaving the service were asked if they had it. If they said yes, they were kept on for weeks of so-called evaluation. Well, that was very clever, because obviously anyone suffering from PTSD wants to get the hell home as soon as possible. So there was intense pressure on the most vulnerable to deny they had the condition. Then, too, there's a kind of machismo in military culture. PTSD is for those who can't take it, who aren't man enough to witness the slaughter of civilians, children, etc., etc., etc. But anyway, PTSD is very different from complex PTSD. Folks diagnosed with PTSD are surviving serious car accidents, victims of assault, soldiers, folks who've been involved in short-term hostage scenarios. They don't have the protracted exposure to prolonged social and or interpersonal trauma in the context of captivity or entrapment. They didn't grow up on Mars. They have a sense of functional identity and safety to which they can return once they work through the trauma. The person with complex PTSD has to rebuild and reprogram a lot more because they've been living so long with the trauma response. All right, back to the very, very recent history of PTSD as an official diagnosis. Discovered with the Vietnam vets, but then psychologists working in the field of domestic violence started noticing something. They started noticing that the victims of domestic violence, especially children, and especially children with sexual abuse histories, were exhibiting symptoms very similar to those of returning prisoners of war. Wow. And why wouldn't they? We're talking about women and children who spent years living in captivity with threats and terror. And yes, they had developed that lack or loss of control, helplessness, and deformations of identity and sense of self. And this was breaking a big taboo to take the patriarchal nuclear family and start to frame it as a war zone, and to frame wives, girlfriends, and children as prisoners of war. This is huge, sisters. So much easier to talk about crazy women, give them pills, and lock them up. This complex PTSD diagnosis meant looking at the crime and identifying the perpetrators, and it also meant noticing it was a huge epidemic, an epidemic of domestic violence. Now, this is a political thing. It's just huge. A full integration into the culture of the magnitude of complex PTSD will require a complete paradigm shift, one that's feminist and focused on the developmental needs of a child, in other words, opposite of what we got in patriarchy. In fact, our culture is actually moving in the opposite direction as fast as it can, as more and more folks have to work more and more, and kids just have to suck it up. The pornographizing of the culture is advancing, desensitizing children to sexual abuse, rendering them more vulnerable and perpetrators less accountable. And then, of course, as the economy continues to tank, social services are drying up, and complex PTSD requires a paradigm shift in the delivery of health care, too. So let's look at the treatment for complex PTSD. It's been suggested that treatment for complex PTSD should differ from the treatment for PTSD by focusing on problems that cause more functional impairment than the PTSD symptoms. So this is some of the symptoms of complex PTSD. This is called the adult symptom cluster. This is what they used to just lump into hysteria, or even these days, borderline personality disorder. But it's not. It's complex PTSD, so listen up. 1. Difficulties regulating emotions, including symptoms such as persistent sadness, suicidal thoughts, explosive anger, covert anger. Triggers, sisters, we often have things that trigger us, things that remind us of the abuse from the past. 2. Variations in consciousness, such as forgetting the traumatic events, reliving the traumatic events, having episodes of dissociation during which one feels detached from one's mental process or body. And I want to note here, historically, lesbians have had to dissociate from our lesbian truths and our lesbian identities in order to survive. 3. Changes in self-perception, such as a chronic and pervasive sense of helplessness, shame, guilt, stigma, sense of being completely different from other human beings. Again, just being lesbian. 4. varied changes in the perception of the perpetrator, such as attributing total power to the perpetrator or becoming preoccupied with the relationship to the perpetrator, including a preoccupation with revenge. 5. Alterations in relations with others, including isolation, distrust, or a repeated search for a rescuer. And my friend who just killed herself was looking for a rescuer. She was also looking for revenge. Ding, 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 ding. This should have been diagnostic. Wasn't, though. Loss of or changes in one's system of meanings, which may include a loss of sustaining faith or a sense of hopelessness and despair. This is about our spirituality, sisters. When terrible and unfair things happen over a long period of time, we can find it difficult to find joy in anything. And certainly some of our old-fashioned ideas about God or about the goddess can be called, and rightly called, into question. This is a serious business, sisters, because living with an overwhelming sense of atrocity makes for a life not worth living. All right, so that's complex PTSD. How do you treat it? Well, there's 6 suggested core components of treatment. These are things that should be very familiar to folks that know about the Lesbian Tent Revival. 1. Safety. 2. Self-regulation. 3. Self-reflective information processing, like the kind of radical thinking that goes on at the Lesbian Tent Revival. 4. Traumatic experiences integration. 5. Relational engagement, which is fancy talk for learning how to be in healthy relationships with people. 6. Positive affect enhancement. Feeling better. Sisters, there are medications that can temporarily calm an anxiety attack, which is often the way complex PTSD begins to make itself known in adults. It's important to note that the most common of these drugs list depression as a side effect. Sisters, read the side effects of the drugs you take. Is it worth trading a transitory panic attack for chronic depression? Yes, there are pills for depression. And it's important to note that 80% of folks taking antidepressants long-term are going to morph into folks with bipolar disorder. Again, is it worth it? And yes, there are even more drugs for bipolar. And it's important to note that taking drugs for anxiety, depression, mood stabilizing can lead to sleep disorders. And yes, there's drugs for that. And these are highly addictive. And it's important to note that nobody knows what these drugs do in combination with each other, but the U.S. government does note that they can result in disability, because the U.S. government will approve disability claims, and you know they don't like to do that, but they will approve disability claims from folks just on the basis of the documentation of these prescriptions, because it's been so well proven that they cause massive fatigue so great a person cannot work. It's also important to note that antidepressants can cause suicidal thinking. They have to print a warning these days on how this is true for young people, and it's also still true for adults. That warning's in the list of side effects for adults. It also bears noting that many, if not most, of these drugs are highly addictive. And sisters, I'm calling them drugs and not medications, because that's what they are. Their effects on the minds were discovered accidentally. Many of these things came out of World War II in a search to discover antibiotics. And along the way, researchers noticed that some of these things made people super happy, or calm people down, or put them to sleep, and so on. But this business about how someone's brain is producing low levels of serotonin and needs this pill to correct this deficiency, that is absolute and total junk science, my sisters. And just because hundreds of thousands of folks on antidepressants have been told that, it does not make it true. Remember, people believed in bloodletting with leeches for 2,000 years when it had no healing power at all and sometimes even killed people. We are not the rational creatures we pretend to be. These are drugs, sisters. They alter the mind. They are legal drugs, but they are still drugs. They are not medications in the same sense as insulin for diabetes. These work, and I put that word in quotes, because they alter the mind. They don't fix the broken brain. Long-term prescriptions are not the protocol for complex PTSD. In fact, they're counterindicated. I'm going to read that list again of what people need for healing if they have complex PTSD. Safety. self-regulation, self-reflective information processing, traumatic experiences integration, relational engagement, positive affect enhancement. These are not take a pill, have a procedure things. These are huge, you step up and take responsibility for your life things. These are huge, get a healing community all around you things. These are get some trusted role models for feedback to help you reprogram your thinking. This is a list of tremendous changes that can't be made with a pill or a leap into a new job or a new neighborhood or a new relationship. These are radical changes, my sister. These are the kind of changes that require slow, small alterations daily in attitude and behavior, which over time are going to culminate in integration of the unthinkable and transformation. These are two things that trauma does. It alienates us from our fellow human beings, and it destroys our systems of meaning/faith. Because how could this have happened? Healing requires restoration of a sense of belonging to a community, and it also requires rebuilding a system of meaning and or faith. These are not things you're going to get in a pill or a procedure. And the medical misdiagnosis and misprescribing can actually further isolate the patient and disincentivize her from searching for meaning. Drug addiction does that. And the fact that the drugs are medically prescribed and paid for by the government is absolutely no protection from being addicted. And addiction comes with a boatload of unhealthy attitudes and alienating behaviors, which are only going to make the complex PTSD increasingly worse. So, sisters, complex PTSD, identified by feminist therapist Judith Herman and first described in 1992 in her book Trauma and Recovery. Read that book. Read it and share it. There is a war on in the field of mental health right now, and too many lesbians are being victimized. As lesbians, we need to be addiction literate and trauma literate, because so many of us experience both. We need to know what it is we're seeing. In ourselves and in other people, we need to understand how to support each other. We need to understand what's affecting us, and we need to understand what we need to heal. I believe that we can do this. Complex PTSD is rampant in communities of lesbians. Let's start identifying it, and let's start stepping up, and let's start sharing information, and let's stop this ignorance and this misdiagnosing, and let's stop these damn suicides. Sisters, I am telling you, I am putting out the call today. Call to the Lesbian Tent Revival. Let us rise to the challenge of identifying complex PTSD and responding appropriately. Blessed be.
Playwright and performance artist Carolyn Gage, delivering a sermon for a Lesbian Tent Revival on the topic of complex post-traumatic stress disorder. You can find her sermons and other works in multiple formats online. For more information or to hear this program again, email wings@wings.org. And please like our daily news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose works and related media can be found at the website gift-economy.com. That's gifteconomy with a hyphen, .com. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm the Wings series editor, Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.